Hello and welcome to the We Are Birmingham podcast. I'm Chris Golding.
I'm Matthew Elliott.
And as ever, we're joined by the vegan that we've just annoyed by not being able to sync our claps properly. Good evening, Dave. How are we doing?
Evening both. Yeah, for those of you that weren't privy to this, neither Chris nor Matthew can clap on cue. Not difficult.
We're amateurs.
Went to the camera, clap. So, yeah. Well done, Chris.
I can't all of watching TV as long as you have, Dave.
I'm sorry.
So, how are we going, guys? We okay? Good week? Or a good weekend?
Good week. It's Monday.
Since last week, you're better.
Tired. But, yeah, I'm alive. I'm here, so that's sound.
Vegan?
Yeah, good. Night out in London with Amagia last night, so that was good.
Where did you go?
Kentish Town.
Did you have sushi?
We did not have sushi, no. What did you have? I had a packet of crisps. Went to Kentish Town Forum to see one of the Lille rappers. But, yeah.
One of them,
yeah. There's many, we saw one of them.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. About yourself, how's the training or lack of training?
I was just going to say I haven't been for a run in a week because obviously the mentioned last week hamstring injury. The run is this Sunday, and I've got to go for a couple of runs this week and just try and get myself moving again. It's still a bit tender, so I didn't want to go out this morning, so I'm going to go out tomorrow. And on Thursday for a couple of smaller runs, and then the big one on Sunday. Can I just say now, thank you to everyone who has donated to me. I'm not going to let you down. If I have to walk it, then I'll walk it, and it'll take me 4 hours. I'll do it. If you haven't already donated and you want to, it's much appreciated. I want to get to £1,000 if I can. I know it's payday around now, so please, if you can spare £1 or £5, whatever, it's much appreciated.
But also, just to let you know, if for any reason he doesn't make it, you will all be getting refunds.
that won't be happening. And I am going to make it. The only way I'm
No, of course you're going to make it. Of course you're going
to
make it.
If I collapse.
And if you have to walk it, you'll do it much quicker than 4 hours as well. So.
Yeah.
Well, not if I'm limping.
You'll be fine.
Hobbling all the way around. But I will do it. And again, thank you to everyone who has donated. Right, should we talk about the football? Or lack of?
Do we have
no.
To?
No!
enjoy it?
I don't want to say I enjoyed it. I don't think it was as bad as a lot of people thought. I thought it was bad. There was the moments... periods of turgidness. It just felt this very similar to the Rotherham game again, where we got into good positions and then the final ball let us down a lot. The amount of times Ethan Laird got himself into good positions and his cross or distribution was awful, which I saw loads of people slagging him off on Saturday and still on Sunday. Even people that hadn't watched the game were having a go at him, which I found weird. General play, I thought, was actually okay. It was just
people
his distribution.
Sorry, people that were watching.
There were people that didn't even go. There were people that didn't even watch the game that was slagging up. And they actually mentioned that. I saw a couple of people even mention that in the tweet. And it was something else just to have a dig at him, I think. He hasn't been great recently. I do think he's playing with an injury. For some reason, they're not keen on Drame. Maybe it's because he's only on loan. And maybe when they tried to sign him permanently and during the last window, he obviously decided to keep his options open. They think there's not a level of commitment there from him. Obviously, he was fairly culpable for the two goals against QPR. I don't think he's been seen since, has he, Cody Drame, since then?
No, I don't think so.
I thought it was very weird. He just seems to be another Laird who hasn't been great recently, but actually general play, defensive work was actually okay on Saturday. Getting forward, he was all right, but it's just that distribution in the final third just was a letdown, but he wasn't the only one. I think a lot of them struggled in the final third, and that seems to be a big problem. at the moment. Certainly away, certainly away from home.
It, yeah, the thing that got me about that was that the thanks for the update there, Vegan. Just to, he's just popped us a little message in the chat saying Leicester are 2-0 up.
Oh, good.
Recording on Monday night, obviously.
Yeah, this will go out on like Thursday. the thing for me is, it a confidence thing? Because after the Coventry game, they should have been full of confidence, and then they went against Rotherham, and it didn't. It took, so to me, it didn't look like a confidence thing. And I said this last week. For me, it just looked like there was a lack of urgency, a lack of sort of
definitely a lack of urgency. There's definitely a lack of urgency there, and I don't really understand it. When in these last, certainly in these last two games as well, which were very winnable, and we should have come away with a win from both of them, and we've come away with 2 points. I find it confusing, because then you look at the home games that we had against Preston and Coventry and how well we played in those games. Okay, I know we only beat Preston 1-0, but we were very, very good in that game, I think. And we could have won by more. I just don't understand. Maybe the away form thing is obviously a big factor. And, you know, for whatever reason, we've struggled with that for a little. Actually, I think we've struggled with our away form since fucking Lee Clark left. Because we had that era where we couldn't win at home, but we did all right away from home under him. Yeah, I don't know.
Is it a monkey on their back, do you think?
I think so. I mean,
it doesn't matter, it's over now.
I'm just glad our last game isn't away, because then you'd have absolutely fucking zero hope, wouldn't you? I think. But it's really, really disappointing. I think Stansfield had that opportunity in the second half, which, you know, I think may have completely knocked the stuffing out of Huddersfield. There was a chance that, I'd say a half chance that Dembele had when he came on, where he just...
You mean the one that he stuck outside of the stadium?
Yeah, I think he did. Yeah, it was awful. But yeah, then again, got into some fairly good positions in that final third, but just did nothing with it. Fannied around with it on the edge of the box, didn't get the ball into the box. So maybe that's because we don't really have much of a presence in there, and we've not been having many bodies in there. Maybe that changes on Saturday if Duke's fit enough to play a bit more than 10, 15 minutes or whatever. But or maybe because we're just at home. But yeah, it was disappointing. And then, because Huddersfield are terrible. I watched them and I just thought, I mean, okay, you could quite easily say they're just two bad teams playing each other, but they were there for the taking on, more so than Rotherham, I thought, who, you know, Rotherham had a little bit more about them.
Huddersfield, but I just thought. Gary Rowick turned around in his post-match interview and said, the last 20 minutes, we looked like the team that were going to score if anyone was. I can't see that. I don't know what he's watching to see that. If I was sat there at home, so I had a ticket, childcare fell through at the last minute, so I couldn't go. And I turned around as my missus left the house in the morning. I said, when you come home, if we win, I'm going to be really pissed off because I wasn't there. If we lose, I'm going to be really pissed off. So basically, there's no hope. She checked the score as she was leaving work. Draw. Okay. And I was like, you know what, that was probably the best result for you to come home to, because it was just like I basically turned around afterwards. I was like, I was glad I didn't go. I don't mean that, of course. I would have loved to have been there and tried to support the Blues, but it was just so I was sat watching it on TV, and I thought for the last 20 minutes that if anyone was going to win it, they were going to win it by a long ball into the box and just something bubbling in. I didn't get the feeling that we were even attacking the game at that point. And that was made even more infuriating by watching Hull and Ipswich on the evening game. Now, yeah, they're two teams that are playing some good stuff and they've had good seasons.
At different end of the table.
Different end of the table, yeah. But they've still massive things that they're playing for. Their seasons are both still full on. the same as ours are. The lack of urgency that we had, both teams in that game were showing mega urgency, mega desire. And it's, I was jealous of both sets of fans that they've got a team that goes out there and that are playing like that. And the majority of ours are just happy to, like, we're in a relegation scrap. We're in the bottom three. And we're going out there and we're just like, play over to you. No urgency at all. And then it's the 96th minute or something, and it's like, fucking come on.
Well, look what Sheffield Wednesday have done. Look at the turnaround and urgency they've managed to bring into their last few games. It's been incredible.
Yeah.
You could see that happening, though, couldn't you? They've managed to string back-to-back results together and just keep pushing and pushing. And I mean, they've come from, I mean, really out. They look like they were dead and buried when we played them earlier in the season. Like, they, it looks like they weren't going to go. They were probably the worst team in the league. And now look at them.
And then but they played us.
They've had the ability
and
to...
And then they played us.
Yeah.
sparked them into life.
They had the ability to just put a string of results together, and it's taken them out. It's given them confidence. That's one thing we've not been able to do. We've not been able to have back-to-back wins or win and a draw and a win or whatever, and, you know, pick up those points, have that bit of luck every now and then. We've not had that. It's just... They've looked like they're going to get out of it for a little while. We're just fortunate that we've managed, not us, but a few other teams have managed to fall back into it. And I said about Blackburn a couple of weeks ago, they're right in it now as well. Like, I don't think I can see them. They drew against Coventry. Probably should have beaten Coventry, to be fair, and Coventry had a man sent off. But now they've got to go and face Leicester, who are probably... They're going to finish tonight. If they finish this game tonight and they win it, they're going to be on for the 100 points mark on Saturday. So anyone that tells me that Leicester are on the beach, and I don't think so. That 100 points barrier is a big thing. I think they'll want to hit that.
Can I just interrupt there while you're talking about that game? Did you see this?
Did you put money on it? Did you?
Blackburn 18-1 to get relegated. So had a fiver on that. Because
when was that? How long ago was that?
The other day, after the games.
That's not bad, actually. That's not bad at all.
Check the odds.
How funny would it be, though, if they went down with John Eustace in charge? And then obviously you've got Plymouth now, who have got Hull on the last game of the season. And Hull have got something to play for now. And, you know, if you, based on what West Brom didn't do against Sheffield Wednesday, there's every possibility they drop points against, they could drop points against Preston. So Hull have got a really good chance of maybe sneaking into the playoffs. And Norwich are pretty much there anyway. It'd take a very...
mad goal difference, wouldn't it?
Yeah. So we've just got to go out and win, haven't we?
The funny thing is, if we draw, then we want Hull to win by 5 goals, is it?
Is it something like that? I haven't checked, yeah.
But if that happens, could they catch Norwich on their goal difference at that end of this? Or is it a bit more? Is it like 7 or something?
I think it might be a bit more, but I haven't double-checked that one. But, I mean, it could happen. It's football, but let's just...
The last thing that we want is Norwich slipping out of the playoffs while we're playing them, because Hull are beating Plymouth 7-0 and we're drawing 0-0. That's the absolute last thing that we want in that situation.
Something like this happened to Northampton Town Cobblers a few years ago, didn't they? They needed, it was all looking for them, and they just, one of the games went massively against them. Forget what it was now. I'll try and have a look. But, you know, those crazy things do happen.
I do...
It's mad.
I do vaguely remember that. But, yeah, I had... Saturday was just really disappointing. Certainly as well, when you've gone up 1-0 just before half-time, perfect time, and then we've come out half asleep and... You know, if we'd managed to weather a storm for 10 or 15 minutes, you'd probably go on and win that. But again...
You've said there, though, perfect time to score. I'm not sure that that's the case.
You know what I mean. You're not giving them an opportunity to get back into it in the first. Maybe the perfect time to score would have been in the 94th minute. You know, but.
I could have seen. And so in our WhatsApp group with some of the lads that I speak to, we were saying there, does this mean that Rowett's getting them in there and just saying, right, just keep it tight second half, don't give anything away, which obviously we come out and give something away straight away. But it just felt like, oh, it could be, for Gary Rowett, this could be completely the wrong time for us to score. That was my thinking at the time.
Do you know what I will say is I think it was Mowbray that first mentioned it.
The mentality.
Nervous when they were 1-0 up. And I think there's probably an element of that still in the ranks. And that's affecting them.
That wouldn't surprise me.
Well, you just kind of want us to get that second goal, don't you? Before we're giving them an opportunity to get back in the game.
Coventry was the one. Coventry, we were 2-0 up. And I think I messaged you guys and I said, we need another goal here just to make it safe. Because it's like, I don't feel comfortable.
But at the same time, you kind of could see that there's a little bit more confidence about them there when they got that second goal as well. So, you know, we could have gone on and scored a few more goals in that game.
Just to very quickly go back to what I brought up a minute ago, I found the details of it. It was 2022, so Cobblers going for promotion. They beat Barrow 3-1, but then Bristol Rovers beat Scunthorpe 7-0.
That was it, yes.
Five goals in the second half, and it was just like almost achieving the impossible, which I remember that.
And Joey Barton was in charge of Bristol Rovers at that point, wasn't he, I think?
Yeah.
And in local football, Highgate United in Shirley a few weeks ago, were I think they needed a 12-0 win to get into the playoffs, and did it.
And managed it.
Yeah. Chaos.
Just out of interest, what was the difference in league positions between those two teams? Because 12-0 seems quite a significant scoreline. That it was underhand tactics going on here. Did somebody throw the game? Offered a creative Pepsi Max to.
As far as I know, I know a lad who plays for them, and I asked him the same, and he said no, it was a legit game. Because it seemed crazy, and he said no, it was just mental. They just went for it and got it. So. Let's not hope that we're in the situation that Hull beat Plymouth 7-0 or whatever it is, and that we're clinging on to a 0-0.
I don't think
that I could see us holding on if we're in that situation.
Do you feel any after that game against Huddersfield? Do you feel any different about how things are going to end up? Did that result make any difference to you? Did some of the results that did go our way sort of, has it changed your mindset about?
No, because I always thought it was going to go down to the last day. You just got that kind of, you know, that feeling that whatever was going to happen in the run up, it was just going to come down to the last day again.
For me, it was these last two games. After beating Cov, it was like, right, let's see how we're going up. And seeing that performance against Rotherham, I felt like we weren't up for it. We weren't in for the running. And then last week, I'm going to say you spiked me with a bit of confidence. And you made me put a 4-0 bet on. You don't realise this.
Hey, I didn't predict. What did I say? Did I predict 1-0? I can't remember what I predicted.
But you gave me some confidence. So I was like, right, we're going to get one and then we're going to go on from there.
What did I say in that tweet the other day? I've not been in sound mind for the past sort of 8 weeks. So anything I say should
I know. So you sort of gave me that momentary boost in confidence because you spiked me with confidence. And I ended up wasting more money on a bet that was never going to come in.
Well, let's hope and you get it all back with the Blackburn one.
Well, hopefully. But realistically, I can't see us beating Norwich. So, and we need to, let's be honest. We have to win. A point isn't enough. Go on.
I think we're a different beast at home. Beast is probably the wrong word for this lot. Proposition. I think we're a different proposition.
You could say different animal because we're a chihuahua instead of a cat.
But they are, most of them are the size of chihuahuas, aren't they? So I think that's been the problem.
Hearts the size of chihuahuas.
So
No. Hearts the size of chihuahuas' hearts. Not hearts the size of chihuahuas, because that would be big hearts.
I think the last game of the season, a full packed out stadium, fans will be in full voice despite the situation. I think, you know, the last few home games have been, when they've been packed out, it's been very vocal.
Don't forget though, 12:30 kickoff, so people are going to have to be in the pubs early.
Well, there is that.
Not always.
But I just think we'd... And then there's Norwich, who probably, I mean, they've probably got half an eye on who they want to play in the playoffs. So let's not just write them off, because, I mean, they could put out a weaker team. I always say around when the opposition put out a weaker team that, you know, those other players have got something to play for, that they could try and earn a spot in the playoffs. But they will want to have the easier tie. So they'll want things to fall for them in a way that means that they don't drop any places, etc. So they're probably going to go out to win anyway. I just think we're better. I know we're better at home. We're put like top 9, top 10. I think home form, obviously bottom or
just
second
dreadful
bottom
away from.
But Norwich's away form, sorry, it's not very good either. They're in like the bottom 5 or 6, I think. They don't win very many games away. So, you know, there's something to consider there. I know Norwich have a fairly decent record against us, but, you know, I think Coventry had a fairly decent record against us before we played them as well. So
we haven't beat Norwich since something like 2014 or something.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Right. I mean, they disappear from the league once every 2 years, don't they? Because they go and play in the Premier League. So,
but they've beaten us a lot since then. It's not just.
But there's something.
Sorry, 2016 it was.
2016.
And Gary Rowett was in charge.
There you go. So I don't think I've really. I was disappointed on Saturday and a little bit annoyed. But I'm still... What is it? I don't know. Is it? Do I believe or is it just hope?
Or are you just not... What was the word that you said earlier about your misplaced confidence? What did you put onto it?
Not of sound mind.
Yeah, is it just that?
I don't know. I think you've got to have hope, haven't you? I think you've got to have hope.
It's the hope that kills you, though.
But hope allows us to charge into the darkest of times headfirst, believing in the good that we can't see, hinging on the feeling we can emerge victorious despite the seemingly insurmountable odds, Chris.
Is that Coach Carter?
No, it's from Star Wars, actually.
My guess was going to be like some lyrics from the Holiday Plan or something.
I hope is like the sun, was... Chris. If you only believe it when you see it, you'll never make it through the night. Come on.
Is that Coach Carter?
That's also Star Wars.
Are you saying that every aspect of our final game against Norwich can actually be summed up in the Star Wars quote?
Help us, Lukas Jukovic. You are our only hope. Yes.
So, what about we will not go quietly into the night. We're going to live on. We're going to survive. Today is our Independence Day. No?
What's that from?
That's not Coach Carter. That was Independence Day.
That's Independence Day.
I feel like we've been. I feel like this has just gone
on a bit of a tangent.
Yeah.
I think I'm hopeful. You've got to have hope, because if you've got hope, you've got nothing else. So rebellions were built on hope, Chris.
Coach Carter.
Star Wars, actually.
Oh no! No shit. I think before we lose the plot completely, we should probably talk about something else that happened on Saturday, and it was the singing of "You're Not Fit to Wear the Shirt" to the players.
Mm-hmm.
Was it deserved? Was it fair?
And you pay your money. Certainly the travelling fans who have been up and down the country all year, and those 100 or 200 that got them through the OSCs.
Their first game of the season.
Yeah. A jest. Didn't mean it was a joke. You pay your money, you sing. I personally wouldn't sing it. I'd annoyed. I'm happy to boo at the end of a game. I'm actually fine with that. I think you pay your money, you should be able to boo, sing, as long as you're not singing derogatory or like aggressively offensive songs, then why not? You voice your opinion. The players know, they're not stupid. They see social media, everything the club posts, everything they post that isn't football related or maybe is football related, they get arseholes tweeting them or putting stuff on Instagram. But they obviously see this shit. They obviously see it. And that's when you know when players start turning their comments off.
I'm just going to say there, not always arseholes.
No, not all, but there is a lot of arseholes that do just wait for people to post something and then just like message them something offensive. It does happen. There's social media is a cesspit for that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
The players know fans are unhappy. The players know how people feel. They see it online. They hear about it. Jay Stansfield had mentioned it before. He'd heard people that had been that thing. It does get to him. It will get to other players. It does hurt them. They are. We said about this last week. They're human beings. But
I'm going to stop you there. They are. Does it hurt them though? And that's the big thing. So Jay Stansfield is the first one. So I wanted to come on to this. He's the first one that seems like he's actually hurt by something, that it's actually hit him. And I don't think from 99% of the people that would have sang that song, I don't think that it would have been aimed at him.
No, it wasn't.
Because he's absolutely ran his heart out. He's given everything. And he's one player that you could watch every week and you could say he's given everything.
Mm-hmm.
He comes off that pitch and he hasn't left anything on it. And he's been affected by it, by people singing that song, and felt the need that he then needs to apologise for it. He's got fuck all to apologise for. There's a majority of the players on that pitch that was aimed at. He wasn't one of them. They should be apologising to the supporters.
Oh yeah, but I mean the apology was for his reaction, wasn't it? Just on that, there's fans singing songs at the players, right? Fair enough. Paid, as I just said, paid the money, you can do what you want, as long as it's not like derogatory or whatever, then fine. Then you've got like a 20-year-old kid that just like maybe shrugs your shoulders and kicks the ball towards your away end, and then there's fans up in arms about the way he's reacted, like saying that it's out of order, etc., etc. Like,
I totally agree with you. I think once you're singing a song at them, I think seeing a bit of passion from him, that for me, like the other players just standing there, like looking at his, we lost again. We drew again. It wasn't good enough again. Seeing something from him shows that he cares. I'd want all of them to be like, no, it's not fucking good enough. That's where you get a response for me. I'm not going to moan at any of them online if they show something like that.
My issue was the amount of people that just were like slagging him off for his reaction for the chants that they were singing at the players. It feels like, how do I put this? It's like pearl clutching. It's hypocrisy. Like you're giving the lads a load of shit. Someone's turned around and give you a little bit of shit back, and it's not even shit. It's just a reaction, and you're crying about it online. So it's out of order. It's not fucking out of order. It's not out of order at all. Like whatever you are singing to them is obviously like affected them and they've reacted in a way. He's also like 20-21 years old. Like he's still a very young lad, and that sort of stuff is gonna bother him. But I think I mentioned it last week, like I don't understand. For me, that reaction was hardly worth commenting on at all. But some people just seem to be mega offended by everything that they see online, or like they just want to be dramatic about it. And again, it's that everyone's hurt and everyone's emotional. We've just drawn a game. We could have been out of it. We're still in the bottom three, etc. I get that. But I find it embarrassing that people are getting super upset about a 20-year-old lad turning around, shrugging his shoulders and kicking the ball towards the away end that was about 50 yards away from actually reaching anybody in the crowd. You know, he was angry or whatever. Like, why are people getting so uptight about it? Like, fucking, it's like, I know it bothered you, Harley Dean thing, when he did cut to his ears and he was like told, I can't remember what he even did now. Like, that didn't bother me. I know it bothered a lot of people, and that maybe like that slightly
winds,
worse.
That winds me up more. So
ultimately he was getting shit directed at him constantly online and from the stands. So like you can understand him giving a little bit back, and that doesn't bother me. People should just fucking grow up and take it.
Yeah,
I know it's not like
if you give it out, take it. But then, so
yeah, two rights, two wrongs don't make a right, whatever. But you know what I mean.
Steve Cuttrell, was it Barnsley away, offering fans out, and people basically, it nearly went off down in the corner on his way into the tunnel. It was
I reckon he could take most of the fans, to be fair. But he's hard as fuck, but Steve Cottrell.
Fans were dishing it out, but it was completely, in my opinion, it was completely fair what they were dishing out. Because we were terrible. We were garbage under him.
And you know what? We haven't been good the second half of the season, or certainly since Moby's gone, we've been terrible, right? Terrible. And you know, the players deserve to know how the fans are feeling. But let's not like overreact to a fucking young lad that's just been emotionally impacted by what fans are chanting. I know I keep saying it, but it just felt like a massive overreaction from a lot of our fans online, and we see it a lot. I know that, but like, just fucking grow up, man. But it's out of order. He needs to apologise, and he came out and apologised. Didn't need to apologise. No, and the fact that the fucking Blues Twitter account actually ended up like tweeting it out as well.
Did they?
Yeah, I think so. I'm pretty sure they did. Maybe I'm just made that up. Like, Dave, can you double check that? I'm sure they did.
I think they put like a graphic out, didn't they?
Like, yeah. Which again, that's almost suggesting that he knew he was wrong, so we've told him to do this, or we think. I don't agree with that either. No.
I mean, if Siriki Dembele waves a wanker sign at the fans, then you know that's marginally different. it was purely passion for me. He's taken something to heart that I don't believe was aimed at him, and he's lashed out. He's reacted because it's affected him. He's a passionate guy. He plays with his heart on his sleeve. He puts 100% into every game. Like, one thing that you can say is that he's gonna absolutely empty the tank every game. You can't say that he's not fit to wear the shirt, in my opinion. And I don't think it was aimed at him. I think that would have been aimed at collectively the group.
Of course it was. It wasn't aimed at him. It was a collective thing. And you know, and it's
my point is, he's taking it to heart, not thinking that he's thinking they're singing it about me because I'm part of this team. they can't go through the team and sing it to everyone individually, the people that they mean. And do you know what, like you said, that I think there are certain players out there that have deserved it for the way that they've played this season. And I wouldn't sing it. Like, I didn't join in with the Rooney chants, but I can understand why people did.
The club did put something out. They put out this like black and white picture with a statement, and then a couple of heart emojis on it. It looked a bit daft, to be honest.
It's like, yeah, I don't think they needed to do that. I don't think they should have done that. It's almost like admitting that he did something wrong, and he, in my view, he didn't.
So we put out the call for some 15-second opinions this week, and after some recent 15-second opinions that have gone on for 2 minutes, 3 minutes, we've made a little change. And going forward next season, we're going to give you a 5-second grace on your 15-second opinions, and then... So 15-second opinions, a bit 20-second opinions. But then when you run out of time, this is what you'll hear. So, shall we have them?
Every time that countdown comes in, are you going to like touch your head in the same way?
No, because we'll have the 15-second opinion thing on. But of course, okay. I'll be doing it, yeah.
Okay, good.
Right, let's have them.
15-second opinion.
Hi lads, trying to keep it to 15 seconds today. Hoping all Blues fans can push their disappointment and anger to one side just for 2 hours on Saturday. We've still got a chance of staying up. While there's a chance, we should do everything we can to push them over the line. Keep right on.
Survival. My head says no. My heart says I hope all the other teams lose badly.
All right lads, Blue Machine here. I'll try not to rabbit on too long, if you know what I mean. It's quite refreshing. Just got to go and win Saturday. No excuse from the players, permutations, holding on for points. Go and win. That's it. Simple.
This is the year, boys. It's finally time. We need a result against Huddersfield or Rotherham, and we failed to get one against either. I don't see how we're so confident we're going to beat Norwich. Sorry.
Hi, Tom Richards here. I made peace with relegation many weeks ago. I'm hoping for another Cadess-esque survival, like everyone else, but we would have to beat Norwich, who haven't beaten since, I think it was 2016, and hope results go our way. Regardless of how the season ends, I'm looking forward to getting this dismal season on the pitch, out of the way, and never having to see most of these players.
Hi lads, after two pretty pathetic away performances, I think that's probably us gone now. I think people think Norwich will be a lot easier than it actually will be. Yes, that's what Blues do, get out of it on the last day, but I think we've deserved to go down, to be honest, and that's been the case ever since the change of manager in October.
How you doing, lads? In true typical Blues fashion, it's come down to the end of the season where it's been in our fucking hands for ages and we keep fucking up, but I actually think we're going to stay up. We're going to beat Norwich 2-1. Keep right on.
Hi, boys. Hope you're well. Scott here. Here we go again, final day. Can we do it? I don't know. I've been telling everyone we can't. I've been telling everyone we're down and it's not going to happen. But there's part of me that just thinks it's classic Blues, isn't it? But it's also classic Blues to spank Norwich 3-0 and then have everyone up.
All right, lads, Cobb here. All I'm going to say is one last push, Blues. Come on, we can do it. I didn't believe we could a few months ago. I was resigned. I was in League One weeks and weeks ago after all the performances. However, we've been in this situation for years, even on end. Juki's back, come on. Even a scrappy 1-0, whatever it is.
Hiya, it's Vino here. Weak mentality, weak away form, weak players, weak management. We deserve to go down. Do I think we go down? I don't. I think we'll stay up and I hate myself for it. Keep right on.
Badger says, win, you useless bastards.
Lads, how brutal is that? I thought Cobb was going to be the first one to go, to be honest with you. I was surprised that he wasn't. But I knew that he was going to get cut off, but that's brutal.
Like that.
Yeah.
It's good.
So you've got 20 seconds.
You think it's going to keep people right. in?
Keep people in check.
You think it's going to keep people
Has
in
to.
Check?
Has to. I think people started taking the piss. We had to do something about it. Chris O'Brien. Yeah. So, yeah, it's in. I mean, the sort of balance there, isn't there, of people thinking that we're gonna scrape it. Some people thinking that we're done. Some people fancying the rabbits off the Galaxy Caramel adverts. If you've not seen... So,
wow, that's very strange, isn't it? Very, very strange.
I did see a little bit of it, and then I looked at his...
I saw comments about it. So if anyone hasn't seen this on Twitter today, the tattoo bloke... I don't know what his name is. The guy that's been on like Jeremy Kyle and all sorts, and he's
Ink something or other.
Wafer. Yeah, one of his kinks is that he loves shagging the Galaxy. No, what's it called? Cadbury's Galaxy.
It
bunny.
Looks like that yeah. bunny. Yeah, he likes Jessica. I think he's got a thing about cartoons, hasn't he? But
very weird. Very weird. Anyway. I mean, I think Saturday's going to be a really strange atmosphere because everyone's going to have their different feelings and opinions on how it's going to go. There's going to be such a mix.
There's going to be a little bit of tension and nervousness in there. You know what we need? We need Neil Moxley to write like a really negative article.
Brings everyone morning. Together.
Yeah, that's what we need. That's what we need. Just before.
Come on, Mox. Come on, Mox. Do it for the Blues.
Come on, Mox. You are our only hope. There's going to be a level of nervousness, but ultimately I think like the full house generally does bring the noise and the atmosphere. The players much prefer playing at home. Kind of touched on this earlier already. You've got to be far more positive, certainly against a team higher up the table as well. I think it maybe plays into Vrouwt's hands a little bit more, potentially.
But will they attack us?
And
they only need a point to guarantee.
I mean, they are going to, because I think it's the only way they know how to play football as well. So, you know, you just got to hope. There's a bit of a rubber groom. We have a bit of luck, you know, and the other results go away. And ultimately, like, I've kind of got to a point where I think Leicester beat Blackburn and I think Hull beat Plymouth.
So it's just can we do our
job? What do we need to do? Leicester are going to be chasing that 100-point mark. They're 3-0 up now, like tonight. Maybe someone else is going to tell me they've scored 4 or something. I don't know.
Seven.
Hull have got to go out. there we go. So it's just can we hold up our side of the bargain? If we win, I think we stay up.
But that's that for me. So I want us to like.
And then at that point, we don't deserve to go down. So I know everyone says, we deserve to go down. We absolutely deserve to go down. But we only deserve to go down if we finish in the bottom three.
I think you are right. Yeah, you've deserved to finish where you finish. The way that we've been, we're playing like a team that deserves to go down. For me, we're not showing enough desire enough drive to try and win games. The last couple of games, like, it's not in our hands now, and that's what really pisses me off, because the last couple of games it has been in our hands. We could have done something about it. We could have been out of this, or pretty much out of this.
Well, I mean, if we'd turned all those 1-0 losses into 0-0 draws, then we would have been absolutely fine. If you look at all these late goals we conceded throughout the season, it's just, you know, we could have been like 16th, 15th or 16th.
I did the maths on this back in around March. I looked at goals that we conceded in the last five goals, Golding, that we conceded in the last 5 minutes, which led to either a draw or dropping 2 points.
So it was
10 points. Yeah, well, and it was 10 points back in March. So, you know, when you think the difference that could have made, it's those last 5 minutes.
There's a conversation to be had here next week or the week after as well. That whatever happens, whether we stay up or we go down, and actually, like you and a few other people said, kind of made peace with it. Like I kind of like, I'll be gutted if we do go down, but I'll also be kind of re-energized. I know it's League One, but we should have the players that we keep will be good enough to play down there. Obviously, we're going to have to move some on because they'll want to move on. We'll probably move some on just for the good of the squad. And then we'll spend a lot of money down there as well.
On that point, on the money point, I think I spoke about it, that I was speaking to a Rotherham fan when we were in Rotherham the other week, and that they said they don't want us to get relegated because it's a team with money to compete against. I spoke to a Huddersfield fan today, Matt from last week, that was on the pod, and he said, "We don't want you to come down because we don't want to compete with you." Why didn't these teams just throw the games against us, knowing this? It's not,
come on,
10 own goals, just like let us out of it. That might have looked a bit suspect, to be fair.
Of course. We do go down, we've got to get the recruitment right. And that sort of leads into what I was going to say. And we won't talk about it today, but it's probably an end of season diagnosis of just to slice up the blame pie. And it's like how that works, you know, the derailing of the season with the managerial change in October and then everything else that sort of snowballed after that. It's like, where does everything push up? And you know, we can look at the previous regime and the contracts they gave out to players, and the players are still on the book and stuff like that as well, and just actually have a bit of a just do some surgery on the season and the outcome, and no matter where we finish, because the summertime, whether in League One or the Championship, fine. Well, yeah, it's supposed to be, isn't it? But yeah, it's going to be an exciting summer wherever we are, and there's going to be a lot of upheaval and turnover, and it's going to be a brand new leaf next season, and it's going to be exciting either way, no matter what league we're in. League One tour is probably not that bad, is it, really? You've got to come straight back up, though. You've got to come straight back up.
Well, that was, so there was the 15-second opinion a few weeks back that said, for a season, embrace it, and they took a lot of shit, like a lot of stick for it on socials, and it is like we shouldn't be looking to at that, but now that we're in the situation that we're in, it's not terrible, and especially when you look at the financial fair play things and how that plays out, it would allow us to rebuild. For essentially, if you can attract the players, it allows you to rebuild a strong championship side. So it's not the end of the world. That's not saying that it's going to be easy. It's never.
No, I think that's what some people seem to think we'll just come straight back up. And in theory, like on paper, you know, if we do get recruitment right, we keep the right players in the squad from this season, then we've got the financial power and firepower to probably take us back up. And it's to be honest, like, we shouldn't accept anything less than top two or playoffs or whatever.
No, I think top two. Ultimately,
you've got to be looking to go up automatically. We know it's not as easy as that, but with the investment that's going to be behind us.
I'm not suggesting here that you sack your manager before the playoffs. As who is it that's Barnsley recently done it?
Yeah, but they've been on they only made it into the playoffs due to some misfortune from other clubs. They were very, very lucky to stay.
But I'm saying, I think if we're in the situation where we can extensively rebuild and we can put these plans into place, we could be the highest investors or whatever the word is in investment that League One has seen, the highest spending team that we've already had that we've ever had in League One. We could be that team. If we do that, you've got to expect first, anything less is a failure. Get up and then say, right, it wasn't good enough, go again next season. But promotion would have to be, I mean, we're talking about this like it's already happened. I feel like a lot of people are already feeling like it's happened.
Well, I remember when we obviously went down into the third tier before that season.
Doesn't sound like you came about
it. Barry
I
Fry.
Remember so me, that basically, I don't remember.
basically, me and my dad went to, like, consistently went to, I think, most home games and away games. I went to stadiums I've never been back to since then.
Probably stadiums that don't exist anymore.
Awesome. Yeah, like Reading's Elm Park, I think we went there. Had an amazing pie. Always remember it at Wickham's. I think we won 3-0 there. But had some great times just going up and down the country with my dad, just watching Blues. And obviously, it'll be a little bit harder to get tickets, I think, in the going forward. I've always got the Ulster exactly OSC, though, so they might be able to help me out.
Joke.
Okay, moving on to the Norwich game at the weekend. We have the thoughts of a Norwich fan, Matthew, someone you'll be familiar with, back from your living in the East Midlands days. John Dunham, former Northants Telegraph sports reporter, spent years, long time covering football in the region. Also a huge Norwich fan. So he's been kind enough to give us some thoughts about their season. Let's have a listen to it.
I'd say Norwich's season's been, it's a strange one. It's looking like it's going to end pretty well in terms of us getting into the playoffs. I think there's a feeling that it probably could have been a little bit better than that with the start we had and the finish that we've had. But the bit in the middle where we had a few injuries, certainly losing Josh Sargent to a long-term injury, hurt us really badly. So, you know, I think we've recovered quite well to hopefully, all being well, secure a playoff place. So, in general, I think everyone will take that if that's how it finishes. You know, Saturday's an interesting one. Obviously, you know, it's a massive, massive, massive game for Birmingham. They've got to win, and you know, everyone's looking out and saying, "Well, Norwich are pretty much secured in the playoffs," but there's just that little feeling that we still need to finish the job. You know, it would be, I think you'd find a lot of Norwich fans who would turn around and say it would be very, very Norwich if we managed to lose by a big scoreline and then Hull win by a big scoreline and we somehow miss out with that. But, you know, I think it means that David Wagner's going to have to go pretty strong. You know, and not rest players and rest on the laurels and everything and actually get the job done. So, you know, if we're at full tilt, then, you know, I think we'd obviously fancy our chances, but it's going to be a hell of an atmosphere, I'm sure, at St Andrews as you guys fight for your very survival. So, yeah, it's not surprising. I just saw actually that it's been selected for live coverage on the TV. I'm not surprised about that. You know, it's a game that's got a lot at stake for both sides. From our point of view, you guys are going to have to be worried about Josh Sargent. He's, I think he is arguably one of the best strikers in the division. His goal ratio, when you consider how much time he missed with an injury, has been really good. We've also got Gabriel Sara, who's been incredible for us in the middle of midfield as well, and scored an incredible goal against Swansea last weekend to add to his collection. So there's a couple of players who will be a danger to you guys. From our point of view, I would think, you know, I like Jay Stansfield personally. I think he's a good player. So, you know, I think, and, you know, I think there's been a story about his passion maybe overflowing a little bit after the draw at Huddersfield at the weekend. So I think he'll be one that we need to keep an eye on. And certainly Norwich, I think, have been proven, unfortunately, that they can be got at defensively. So, you know, there will be chances for Birmingham in the game, I'm sure. But, you know, from our point of view, we've got to try and go and finish the job and book that playoff place and see if we can push on from there. You want a prediction from me? I don't know. It's so difficult to predict with Norwich. You know, last two home games where they've had the opportunity to really finish the job, you know, they've been held at home by Bristol City. I was at that game and Bristol City were really, really good, I thought, to be honest. So that was a good point for us. And then we obviously drew it with Swansea last weekend as well. So, but I've got to be honest, and, you know, you guys are such a big club to be, you know, even contemplating going down. But I wish there was a way you didn't, but I do fancy us to win, unfortunately, for you guys on Saturday. I think we might nick it 2 or 3-1, to be honest with you. But if you go by my predictions, they're usually not the best. So there's genuine hope for you if you think with me thinking that we might win.
I'll absolutely take that then. Thank you, John, for your views there from the Norwich side.
You almost felt really bad.
I don't want to say that we're going to win, but we're probably going to win. Sorry. Yeah, no, a lot of us have already sort of come to that opinion as well. But there's hope. There is hope. Now, looking at their results, you mentioned them there. The last two games that they've had at home, they've drawn. They drew away to Sheffield Wednesday, we know that they've had a resurgence. The only win that they've had in the last four games, I'm not going to go back to five games because they beat Ipswich, in the last four games.
It's a local derby, sort of local. You can't really count that. It's completely different, isn't it?
The win that they had was in the last four games was against Preston, who getting smashed tonight and are they really at it at the moment?
Yeah, have been smashed. Leicester are now officially champions.
Is it done? Is it finished? Oh yeah, yeah. 7-0 was it? Yeah. No.
3-0.
I'm just a few off. But for me, there's a little bit of hope there. I'll tell you what. Before we get into our predictions, it's our 100th episode of the We Are Birmingham podcast tonight. And it's taken a long time through different breaks and whatever else that we've had over time and divorces.
Hiatus for a while.
So it's taken a while, but we've got to 100. We've got our century. Should we do the raise the bat, take the helmet off?
Party poppers. And
put a crown on.
I thought you were going to wear a hat, Chris. Yeah.
I'd mess my hair up.
If we had the old iPad, what we used to do before that, we'd have had the fireworks.
The thumb going up.
When you started this, did you think you were going to get this to 100? Did you start it with any particular aspirations?
Don't think we ever thought about
get on the pod, have a chat. If 10 people listen, great. If not, then we've had a chat. it's still the same now, but thank you to everyone who does listen, and thank you to everyone who sends in nice messages, shares it, and spreads the word. It is much appreciated, and it's great to have you on board. And of course, the 15-second opinions, because there's so many people that say that they love that segment, that they get to have a short chance of saying something. Chris O'Brien takes the piss a little bit, but, you know, it's not anymore. But yeah, because it's our 100th episode, we've gone to some friends of ours and to get some friends of the show to get some predictions for the final game of the season. Let's see what they say.
All right, guys, prediction time. Very nervous. The grey hairs are showing even more than they usually do. I'm optimistic. I don't know why. Relegation battles on the last day are becoming synonymous with the club. I'm going for 2-1, 1-1 until the dying minutes. Duke, back post, delirium, people on the pitch. We're staying up. Keep right on.
Hi, I'm Helena from Her Game 2. I think we will win 2-1 against Norwich at the weekend. In terms of staying up, my heart is saying yes, we'll do it. My head is saying no, we'll go down.
Hello, gents. Brummy / Derby Joe here. Currently Greek Joe. I'm out in Greece, about to fly back. But quick prediction in before the game. I mean, I think we're going to win. I think we're going to win. Sellout crowd at home against Norwich. I do think we're going to win. And it feels like the odds are that Summit could go in our favour. I don't know. Will we get promoted? Will we stay up or will we go down? It's hard to say. I think we might edge it. Norwich are no pushovers. And maybe I just feel like we have survived so many times that I feel like we can. And maybe I'm going to get surprised. We will see. Rather than sitting on the fence, I'm just going to go with my heart and I'm going to say, yes, we're going to stay up because God knows we need a bit of positivity. Keep right on. Up the Blues, up the Fanta Limon, and I'll see you later.
Hi, Dan here, Almagier. Blues to stay up, you heard it here first. 2-0 win Saturday. Stansfield to get on both. Blackburn going to lose. Keep the faith. We are Birmingham.
All right, lads, it's Davo. And here we are again. Survival special. We are going to win this game. Massive crowd, massive atmosphere. We win when that happens. Fulham back in 2018, we all remember it. This season we've had Leeds, Sunderland, Coventry. When we pack it out and we make it intimidating, we win. Simple as that. And all we've got to hope for is some of these other jokers to let themselves down. And don't worry, it's going to happen. Blackburn, they're going to let themselves down. Plymouth, they're going to let themselves down. We are going to be safe, I hope, maybe. Keep right on.
Hi, lads. It's the horse here. Listen, been a long, long, hard season, hopefully, and fingers crossed, we're going to stay up. I'm going for a prediction of 2-1 Birmingham City, Norwich to score first, us get the equaliser, and there's got to be a hero. I'm looking at Duke. Last 10 minutes, bang, 2-1. So hopefully stay up and let's keep right on.
Thank you, everyone, for your guest predictions. A lot of positivity there. Whether it's more hope than actually believing it, there's a lot of positivity there.
I mean, Drummy Joe, Tamworth Joe, Greek Joe, he was probably by the pool with a beer in hand, was he?
No, they were packing and ready to go home, so... Yeah, he's travelling home today. So, but thanks for everyone for taking the time and the effort to send those over. It's much appreciated. Does it fill you guys with any confidence, though?
The more people that have seemed to be confident about the weekend, the less confident I become.
It's basically the opposite effect to what you had on me last week.
I was fine being almost like the lone wolf as such. It's interesting because some people seem to have changed their view on it. And I wonder why that is. Is it because of how the table's fallen with the Blackburn and the Plymouth situation? I think Sheffield Wednesday's a write-off because they're going to beat Sunderland because Sunderland have basically fucking given up and they're just concentrating on what happens next season now. It's interesting.
Do you mean the fact that we're not already relegated? Essentially.
Well, we're still, yeah, somehow we're still hanging on. But, No, we're going to win and we're going to stay
up. Score?
I don't know. It's not going to be plain. I'd love it to be like the Coventry game and where we just almost feel very, very comfortable throughout, but it won't be because we're going to be nervous.
Do you know what? I'd not even, before the podcast and before John's comments, I'd not even thought about the fact that by us beating Norwich, would mean that their goal difference goes the opposite way. So doesn't need to be 7 from Hull. It could be 5 from Hull, 2-3 from Blues or whatever it is to make that crossover happen. And that hadn't even occurred to me that we're going to score goals. We might score goals that would peg them back. All that I had in mind was we're probably going to play for a point and hope that Hull smash them. But it's like, of course, if we get a couple, that's going to be in their minds as well. They've got to play with that in mind.
Yeah, I mean, we're not going to... I mean, the difference is 4 goals, isn't it? I mean, that's not going to... We have to go out and win. Like, even Gary Rowett, no matter what you think of him, not even he's going to send them out to... Or take a draw and we'll just hope that Hull win
4-0. Do you not think? Like, just,
No.
I'm not sure.
No. We've got to go out and win. And I think Blackburn and... I think Blackburn and Plymouth are both going to lose. It's just, it is purely down to what we do. 2-1. And do you know what? Like I say, we go a goal behind.
And fight back from it.
Yeah. Which would be like, have we done that this season?
Yes.
West Brom is the only one that I can think of.
I'm sure we've. I'm sure we've done it. I can't remember. We were on the spot now. I'm sure we have, because I remember. Maybe we haven't. Anyway, vegan prediction.
Matthew, one for you. Really, I'm going to take some inspiration from the 2014 Weezer album. Everything will be all right in the end. I'm not quite sure.
No matter what that means. Wins.
Yeah, no matter what league, it'll be all right. That might be as far as I'm willing to.
You're not right. Putting we'll number on it
somehow. 1-0.
Sunderland at home, wasn't it? That was the game where we went 1-0 down and we came back and won. That similar sort right. of scenario.
I knew we'd done it. I knew we'd done it. I couldn't win the game. I'm not positive at all. Sadly, I'm in the position where I've come to terms with it. I've accepted it. I can't see us winning, and I don't like it.
We did it against Sheffield Wednesday as well at home.
I don't like it. Don't like it.
I don't like it.
So I am, however, going to try and be positive and predict 4-0 Blues for finish off the season in style and survival. So there we go. There's my final prediction.
And if not, actually 4-0's maybe more viable in League One for you.
Yeah. If not, next season will be fun. If nothing else, it'll be fun. So
hold on. What would you do team-wise?
Tyler Roberts, for me, would come in at number 10. I think I'd go... I'd probably go back to pretty much the Cov lineup. Yeah.
The Cov team, yeah. I think Anderson's got 100%. To keep his place for me. Like, he has been... Since Rowett's come in, since he's started those games under Rowett, I think he's been probably one of our best players, if not our best player. He's got to start. Bakuna probably comes out for me. He'd been a little bit disappointing actually after being. Is it the Rowett effect on him? I'm not sure because he's.
Do you know what? As well, I don't think that this is the situation for. His style of football, the relaxed, enjoying your game, in just like no pressure football, essentially, is what he likes to play. This is pressure football. I don't think...
Sometimes, actually, I think that helps, though. That he's one of those players, obviously, can create out of nothing. But I think that front four that we had, that we've had in those the games against against Coventry, just say, I think that's what we'd probably have to go with. I don't think anything else changes. I'd still got to keep the back four the same. I think Paik's been a little bit disappointing, but what's the alternative really in there?
I'm waiting for everyone to lose their mind at 2 o'clock when they see Burke on the first starting.
It might be a little bit earlier than that, Vegan, because it's a 12:30 kickoff, isn't it? Yeah.
Fucking hell, yeah. Half eleven. Have you ever turned up to have you ever missed a game completely?
We have had this conversation before, haven't we? I've not done it before, but I know people that have. I think Mick, who we used to travel up with, Dave, I think it's happened to him before. It's definitely happened to people.
I've had a last minute it's panic before when it's been moved, and it's got to like 11 o'clock or 11:30 or something. It's like the team's out. Shit, I didn't even know the fixture had been moved. Whatever happens, win, lose, draw, stay up, relegated. We'll be back. Let everyone digest it a little bit first and then come back for an episode. And we'll see where we are. And until that time, let's get the fireworks. Let's get the pyro. Let's go fucking mental. Create an atmosphere, like, just incredible atmosphere at St Andrews at the weekend. Make it as hostile as fuck. Get at them. And let's just hope that the lads can do it on the pitch. Fans can do it in the stand. Can the lads do it on the pitch?
What is that really early tackle again, like we had from Tyler Roberts in that Coventry game back in the beginning, that just got the crowd, just got right behind everybody? We need something like that that's clean and doesn't get anyone sent off or booked.
Do you know what? I'll take booking.
And then just straight into
I'll take booking right now. Because how many, like, do you remember the Villa game a few years ago? The infamous one with the punch. And it was Kifton Bell got booked a couple of minutes in with that first tackle.
Yeah, yeah.
And until that incident, that was our game. That changed everything for me.
Yeah, right, it was actually. That completely turned on its head, didn't it?
Let's get an atmosphere like that. No incidents. And let's see it through. And until next time, boys, we'll see you on the other side when I've run 10K. Blues have either stayed up or got relegated. And then, until next time, keep right on.
Keep right on, and may the force be with you.
Keep right on.